That's your cell phone, right? It's not your Bible. Okay, maybe your Bible is there. All right. Okay, say after me, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Amen. So powerful confession, because if you can believe everything that's found in the Word, your life cannot remain the same. Hallelujah. Now, on this Victory Sunday, I am excited to announce to you that the shout of the King is in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. The shout of the King is in our midst. When the Lord is present, the King is present and He rules. Amen. When the children of Israel were traveling through the desert, they came across a place where Balaam was requested by Balak to curse the people of God. Balak had heard about the children of Israel. He said, the horde of these people, they were like swarms. They were many in number. And Balak was afraid. He looked for a compromising prophet. And he said, Balaam, I want you to curse these people for me. And Balaam was there standing. And he overlooks the valley and he sees this multitude upon multitude. And the words that came out of him were words of blessing. And the Lord started speaking through Balaam and he said, there is no curse amongst Jacob. There is nothing wrong with Jacob. In fact, the shout of the King is in their midst. Glory be to God. When the shout of the King is in your house, the devil cannot speak out. Come on now. When the shout of the King is in your business, the devil has no say. Glory be to God. And what the Lord was saying to Balak was that you cannot curse what God has blessed. And I want you to know this morning that you are blessed. And we need to speak the blessing of the Lord over our lives. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter. Victory is a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Victory is a shout. Come on now, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning and declare our victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Son of the living God, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, the Almighty God. We honor you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. No one can stand against you, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Does that sound weird to you? Does that sound unusual to you? If it does, I want you to know there's an enemy in the pits of hell, or rather who will go into the pits of hell, who tries to rob you of that weapon. The weapon called a shout. Many people are silenced, and in so doing, they've robbed themselves of what God would do in their lives. Now, we say victory is a shout. You need to understand the power behind a shout. When a church understands the power of a shout, that church will see victory upon victories. But when a church does not understand the power behind a shout, that church is robbed of many victories. My prayer is for this church, for you, to comprehend the power in a shout. When you understand the power in a shout, you will not remain silent. Even when the word is being preached, you receive it with a shout. Hallelujah. You receive it with joy. Glory be to God. Now, after 40 years in the desert, the children of Israel were finally ready to enter the promised land. And I carefully selected my words. They were finally ready to possess the promised land. Because at some point, they were right at the verge of the promise, but they were not ready. When they were told of how the land looked like, they chose to believe another report. For you to possess the promises of God, you've got to be ready. Your spirit man has got to be ready to embrace the promises of God. The servant of the Lord last week spoke about the promises of God, how we need to embrace the promises of God. Are you ready to receive your healing this morning? Amen. Are you ready to receive your deliverance, your breakthrough this morning? Your attitude will determine whether you're ready or not. Yes. And so they were finally ready. They found themselves right at the edge of the promised land, having conquered the desert. Now they had conquered the desert. They were ready now. They had conquered Sihon, the king of Heshbon. They had conquered Og, the king of Bashan. They had conquered the great Jordan River. And they had crossed the river Jordan. And whilst they were in the plains of the river Jordan, lo and behold, another obstacle was in front of them. Having gone through all of these battles, Jericho was still before them. Who knows that on your way to your promise, you will experience innumerable battles. Yeah. One battle after another. The devil will not just let go. The devil will not just say, "Ah, yeah, welcome, enter therein into the promises of God." No. The devil wants to stop you from experiencing the fullness of God's promises in your life. You see, the Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all of them. Amen. Many are the afflictions. This morning, I want you to know there's nothing wrong with you when you experience afflictions. Mm-mm. Sometimes we think that I have sinned. I have committed a big sin. That is why there are challenges in my life. No. I want you to know that the day that you gave your life to Jesus, you entered into a territory of confrontation. The day that you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," at that point, the enemy changed the way that he looked at you. I was telling the guys in our cell group on Thursday that I have seen that a lot of people in false religions are so committed. They'll pray 6 times a day. Whatever they are told to do, they will follow without even having an issue. But you and I, when we try to do that, to be like Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, we find it difficult. Do you know why it is difficult? It is because the devil is resisting you. The devil is saying, if I just allow her to spend more time in prayer, I would have lost the battle. The devil will resist your business proposals because he knows the day that you get a breakthrough, you will finance the kingdom of God. And therefore, he will make it difficult for you to get that break. But another guy down the road who worships some trees, he's got these business deals going through. At work, things are not easy for you. Why? The devil knows the moment it's easy for you, you get promoted. And when you are promoted, you influence everybody else for Jesus. That is why it's not easy for you. But the Bible says, submit yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Glory be to God. The Apostle Peter says, be alert and be sober. For the devil, your adversary, is roaring around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. It's easy for others. It might be tough for you, but victory is certain. Glory be to God. Amen. We will push through until we go to our Canaan. Hallelujah. Until we possess the promises of God for us. And I want to say to you this morning, I want to speak to your family, that it doesn't matter the level of resistance, you will possess your promise in the name of Jesus. Again, Peter says, don't give up. After you have suffered a little bit, you will experience the goodness of God. Amen. They entered the promised land, but having had to conquer so many battles along the way. Now, Jericho was not just a small city. Jericho was a fortified city. Jericho had two walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. The outer wall was 1.8 meters thick, 3.6 meters high. There was no way an army made up of civilian people were going to overcome this type of fortification. And can I say to you this morning, what you are facing right now, you don't have ability to overcome it. You cannot do it by yourself. There is no way Joshua and this civilian army were able to break through those walls. Jericho was a fortified city. Now, between you and your breakthrough, there will be Jerichos. Between you and your promise, there will be Jerichos. I remember 2 years ago, on the 2nd of March 2020, I decided to resign. The Lord had been doing things in my heart, in our hearts as a people, and God had opened doors, and we felt it was time to move. Who knows there's a time for you to move? Yeah. It was time for us to move. I resigned on the 2nd of March, 2020. And on the 26th of March, we locked in. Yeah. Lockdown came. And we were locked in for a long time. I was facing a Jericho. There was no guarantee that the deals we had signed before I resigned were going to come through. Because COVID had come. Jericho had come. Glory be to God, the one who is faithful. But I want you to know, when we started sitting on the promises of God and never gave up, the Lord came through, and what was promised came through. You know, man can promise you, but man does not always come through. But I thank God that it was not just men who had promised, God had promised. You see, when you walk with the promises of God, it doesn't matter what man does, God will always come through. Amen. What Jerichos are you facing this morning? What Jericho are you facing today? As we are talking about victory, is a shout. Now, one would think that because Jericho was a strategic place towards their possession of the promise, the Lord was going to tell Joshua a major battle strategy. I would have thought that the Lord would sit down with Joshua and say, this is how you're going to move. This is what you're going to do. You flank them from that side, flank them from the right, get some from behind, get some ladders to go over those walls. I would have thought that is what God would have done. And maybe right now you're looking at your Jericho and you're saying, I need a consultant to give me an idea of how I should deal with this matter. But out of everything that God could tell Joshua, the Lord said, raise a shout. I want you to raise a shout, because out of the shout, victory will come. Amen. That did not sound very wise or even strategic or even smart. But the Bible tells us that which is foolish unto man is what God uses for his glory. Amen. The weak is what God uses. Hallelujah. He takes the weak and he confounds the strong. When you look at Paul, he talks about that. He says, he takes the weak amongst us. And then at some point, Paul says, when I am weak, his strength is made perfect. Amen. You know, the Lord will always work with the underdog. You know what I mean by underdog? Somebody who people look at, a situation that God, that people look at and say, there is no way. That is what God uses. Amen. Because when something comes out of nothing, the glory goes to him. He is honored. He is glorified. And everybody would say, it had to be something else. It had to be a God somewhere. Amen. And we're saying today, victory is a shout. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. See, the Lord is saying, I have given you financial breakthrough. I wish somebody had read that in their spirit, man. The Lord is saying, I have given you good health. I have given you relationships, strategic relationships. It says, I've given it to you. And the king, therefore, and the mighty man of valor, and you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. This great and mighty wall will fall at the shout of the children of Israel. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. This morning I want you to know that God uses your tongue to bring a turnaround in your life. The Lord uses your tongue to bring a turnaround in your life. And I want to ask you a question. How have you been using your tongue? How have you been using your tongue? The children of Israel were commanded to fight using their mouths and their tongues. You see, that is why even the devil captures our tongues. Because he understands the power of the tongue. He uses the tongue to destroy marriages. He uses the tongue to destroy children. He uses the tongue to destroy our future. And this morning, how have you been using your tongue? Put this down. What you do with your tongue influences what your life will do. What you do with your tongue influences what your life will do. You look at your situation that seems untenable. You agree with the untenable situation. You start speaking death over your life. You see, the Bible says, in Proverbs 18, verse 20, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's belly is filled. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's belly is filled. With the harvest, ooh, a harvest. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Life and death are in the power. So important. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. That is why this morning we are saying victory is a shout. When you are able to shout out, you are declaring things in the spirit. And here the Bible says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's belly is filled. What is so important about your shout this morning? I want us to unpack this before we enter into a time of prayer. What is so important about a shout? The Bible teaches us that your shout is a source of your victory. As we have read from Joshua chapter 6, where the Lord says, when they shout, the walls of Jericho will fall flat. Now let me take you to Psalm 145. I want to show you something that is so powerful, and you'll appreciate what this shout is all about. Psalm 145 verse 4, the Bible says, one generation shall praise your works to another. One generation shall praise your works to another. There is something powerful about that word praise. When you just read it on the surface, it just doesn't mean much. until you dig deeper into it. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Man shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another. In this verse, the word praise, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it is that word shabak. Okay, I'm sure some of you might have heard of it. I'm sure Herod might have heard of it. And I'm sure guys who are in the worship arena, you know what it means to shabak. Yeah, Shadi, you must go study. Go and read, okay? To shabak means a number of things. It means to address in a loud tone, right? To shabak means to triumph, to shout, to steal, to command, and to glory. That is what it means. So he says here, one generation shall praise your works. One generation shall address in a loud tone. One generation shall address in triumph. One generation shall speak about your glorious works. Now, David was telling the people in the psalm, saying, there is a way that you need to praise the Lord. And the way you praise here, it's not just this kumbaya praise. This is a shouting praise. You know, I felt like the worship team was taking us into that dimension this morning. As they were singing that, I'll raise a hallelujah in the midst of my enemy. Yeah. That is what you do. You shabak in the middle of your enemy. Amen. That is the word that was used by God when he was telling the children of Israel that when they hear the ram's horn going, they should shout. They should shabak. You see, this is a shouting praise. You don't sing it. You shout it. You scream it. Glory be to God. A shout instructs your victory to manifest. When you shout, you command your victory to manifest. It is like a war cry where you declare things that are not there and you call them forth in the name of Jesus. You shabak your health into being. You shabak your deliverance into being. You say, no more. This cannot continue in my life. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And this is what the children of Israel did. You see, when you shout out your praise, something happens in the enemy territory. You silence the voice of the enemy. Amen. The louder my shout, the more silent the enemy becomes. The quieter I am, the louder the enemy becomes. In your house, when you stop speaking the word of God, doubt becomes louder and louder and louder. Fear becomes more real. And before you know it, you are in a confused state because what is not real starts appearing as real. False evidence appearing real. That is fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Now, that is why you need to rise up in your shabak, in your praise of shout, where you walk around your home and you declare life over where there is no life. Amen. This is what the children of Israel were doing. The Bible says for the first 6 days, you're just going to go around this place. I don't know what was going through the minds of these guys, but I'm sure the first day they were looking around this fort, this stronghold, and their mind was telling them, playing games. You know, your mind plays games with you. And their mind was telling them, there is no way. There is no way we're gonna penetrate this fort. There is no way this can be possible. That was the first day. And the Bible says, after they've circled the first day, they must go back to their camp. What was going through the night? All those soldiers were thinking through their minds, like, there is no way we can do that. And as they were going through the night, somebody got a revelation. No, man, I'm not the one who's going to do this. There is a God in heaven who is able. There is a God in heaven who has done this before. Glory be to God. Amen. They came the second day. Yes, the first time, first half of this cycling, they were like, oh, you think this is possible? But as they were going through day after day, they realized how impossible it is for them and how much they need God. Amen. When you look at your situation, as long as you think that you are able, you will not shabak. Come on now. As long as you think that you are able to do it by yourself, you will not shout out. It is when you are convinced in your mind that this sickness, no doctor can do anything about it. It will take a father in heaven. Then you start shouting. You start screaming. You see, the shout that brings victory elevates the nature of God and the ability of God in the situation. Amen. This is not just a shout, because many believers just shout and they wonder why the walls are not falling down. Your shout has to be made up by something. It is an elevation of the nature and the ability of God in your situation. You've got to acknowledge that there is no way this situation can change unless God in heaven comes down. They went around the enemy for 13 times. Six days. And then on the seventh day, they went around it seven times. That is 13 times in total, right? If my math is correct. 13 times, right? 6 plus 7. 13. 1, 3. They were going around their fort. And I'm saying to you this morning, go around your fort. Go around your fort, knowing very well that it's not by power, it's not by might, but by His Spirit. Glory be to God. When we understand where our power comes from, it changes the dynamics in the battlefield. It changes the way we talk. As long as you are still fighting at the worldly level, you have no chance of winning. That is why Paul says, though we are in the world, but our weapons are not of this world. But they are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. Amen. Jericho was a stronghold. Though we are in the world, though I am dealing with fleshly people, they expect me to react in the same way that they are reacting. But I know where my fight comes from. I know my weapon. It's not in my tongue speaking back at them. It is in my tongue speaking to God. Your shout is a reflection of your faith in something or someone outside of you. Amen. Do you know why we shout when we are scared? It is because we want help. Like your child falls or they feel scared, they shout for help. They are saying, I cannot help myself. They are saying, Mama, I need your help. What is going on here? They are saying, I have faith that when I shout, my shout will be received and help will come. So when you shout facing your Jericho, you are sending a signal to heaven saying, I cannot, but you can. I cannot, but you can. I cannot, but you can. Glory be to God. Amen. Victory is in a shout. Amen. When you hear ladies screaming down the road, she's saying, I cannot help myself. I need help. And people will run to help and assist. And my question this morning is, why haven't you been shouting? The people who don't shout are safe. The people who don't shout are okay. You see, on the seventh day, when they shouted, what were they shouting? What were they shouting? Was it just some scream without any content in it? And I'm not even advocating us just screaming without content in our screams. I believe as they were shouting, they were saying, God of heaven, you delivered us from Egypt. God of heaven, you parted the Red Sea. God of heaven, You gave us water from a rock. God of heaven, you spoke from Mount Sinai. God of heaven, you parted Jordan River. God of heaven, you gave us manna. God of heaven, you gave us meat. Do you think God of heaven would just stand? God of heaven will come down because they're busy shabaking. They're busy speaking back of the wondrous works of the Lord. So when you are shouting, you are reminding God of who he is. You are reminding of what he has done before. Glory be to God. David was running towards Goliath. And he was saying, God of heaven, you delivered me from the paw of the bear, from the paw of the lion. You will deliver me from Goliath. Amen. And God of heaven came. Amen. What's the content of your shout? What's the content of your shout this morning? And I want you to realize when that happens, you trigger something in heaven that is shout praise. And the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. When we do that in our houses, when we do that in our houses. This morning I was in prayer in my room and I felt like I was screaming the praises of the Lord. I was declaring over the church, over the people of God, and there was a release in the spirit. Amen. When you do that by yourself, the walls of Jericho cannot stand. Amen. You see, you shout before your victory manifests. You don't shout because you have seen the victory. You shout before it happened. The Bible says when they shouted, then the walls fell down. Our problem is we want to shout when we see the victory. The Lord is saying, shout before you see the victory, because I am. That's the story of believers this morning. They shouted, the walls fell. We shout the victory we already have in Christ. Amen. I want you to know that we don't fight for victory. We fight from a place of victory. And therefore, victory is a matter of time before it manifests. Look, we need to shout long enough. We need to shout long enough until that victory comes. Glory be to God. Amen. Many people have been silenced by the devil. And in the process, they've been robbed of their victory. But let us be like in Isaiah 62. This is my last scripture. And we're going to go into time of prayer. Isaiah 62, verse 6. The Bible says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. And give him no rest until he what? He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray for you this morning that you be like this watchman who does not give God rest until he restores you. Amen. I pray for you this morning that you be like this watchman who stands their guard. Who stands their place. Like Habakkuk, he says, I'll stand my guard and I will wait and see what he's going to do. Glory be to God. Amen. This morning, I want you to know, child of God, there's a Father in heaven who cares. There's a Father in heaven who says, I am with you. In the fire, I am with you. In the water, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord for good today. As we shout a praise to God, walls will fall. Walls of sickness will fall. Walls of depression will fall. Walls of poverty will fall. Walls of oppression will fall in the name of Jesus. Learn to shout out of your life things that take away joy from you. You shout out doubt. You shout out fear. You shout out depression. You tell depression, this is not your house. This is not your home. Joy belongs to me. Glory be to God. Learn to shout out this morning. You know what? We shout out to God, but we shout at the devil. Two different things. We shout out to God, but we shout at the devil. We command him. We tell him that enough is enough. Yeah. Isaiah says, don't keep silent. All day, all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, what do you need to remind the Lord today? What do I need to remind the Lord today? Let's shout out to God today until those walls come down. I will not allow Jericho to rob me of my promise. I have waited for too long for this promise. Israel, Jacob had waited for 40 years. Jericho was not going to stop them. You, as a child of God, you need to come to that place of desperation. Like the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, going past Jericho, the Bible says he heard that Messiah was coming past. And he cried out, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Victory in a shout. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. People told him, shut up. Shut up, Bartimaeus. You are annoying. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. You are annoying us. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, wait. Somebody is shouting at me. Somebody is calling me. And Jesus said to his disciples, call him. I cannot stand. Call him. What do you want me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus said, I want to see. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. He did not stop shouting. I will not stop shouting. You will not shout. I will shout. Because I am blind. I want to see. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David.